Well, thanks for joining us on the agenda this afternoon. I'm Dave Bernstein, and we welcome into the studio Jennifer Bouchong, who works very hard behind the scenes to get the word out on all the great events, and also helps bring in some very interesting folks into our studio, like Cowboy Wayne. You've been hearing him on the radio. Hi, Cowboy Wayne.
How you doing?
Doing well.
Good.
GS Long Company, Hell on Hooves. Ready to take over the Town Toyota Center and bring in a whole lot of dirt and have a lot of fun.
We already got it in there. I tell you what,
is that right?
Oh, yeah, the dirt's in. Buck and Chutes are ready to go, putting all the signage and banners and stuff up today. And then the first thing tomorrow morning, the livestock will come in. Cowboys are ready to roll. It's going to be the most fun you can have with your boots on.
Going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to talk a little. We'll focus on that a little bit here first, Jennifer, and then we want to talk about some of the great events coming up over the a busy summer at Town Toyota Center. You've been busy, haven't you?
We have. The whole staff has been busy. We have a great team at the Town Toyota Center. Just really excited. This event, the Hell on Hooves Roughstock Rodeo, is much anticipated by staff as well as our wonderful sponsors like GS Long and Ag Supply, and all of them put together. We have everything from bareback riding, saddle bronc riding, mutton busting, which I know parents, grandparents, if you're bringing your kids down, doors open at 6 o'clock. We take 15 kids each night. They need to be under 50 pounds. We do weigh them. But it's really a wonderful event. Thanks again to Numerica Credit Union for bringing that possible this year. So pleased to welcome a new sponsor. And we're looking forward to just having a wonderful family-friendly event inside the Town Toyota Center.
Oh, perfectly timed with Mother's Day weekend. Remember, you're supposed to make a weekend of it, of course. Cowboy Wayne, I'm going to throw a couple questions to you. This would be my first rodeo. Tell me a little bit about the production. Where does the dirt come from, first off? How do you get all that in there?
We get it locally and just have a whole bunch of dump trucks come in and lay it out. And then Billy Ray Coffee, he's a Texan that comes with us that is probably one of the most phenomenal guys on a skidster that you ever seen. And he can level it out there so it's nice and neat. Then my son-in-law, Phil Long, who's the arena director, comes in and puts in the buck and chutes and all the pins out back. We have everything that goes on a semi so that all of that arena and buck and chutes and everything is there. Even the mutton busting chutes, which are little chutes. They look like the real thing, only they're miniature. And all of that goes in there. And then Selena and the crew there at the Town Toyota Center put up all the banners and all that kind of stuff that goes in there, and then we're ready to roll.
Why does Wenatchee love and turn out so well for the Hell on Hooves event?
I think it's probably because it's a family event. You know, the thing of it is nowadays there's so few things you can really take the whole family to. And, you know, it's just like we were talking a little bit ago about NASCAR, you know. Well, we're kind of like NASCAR. If you like the wrecks in NASCAR, well, we got one every 8 seconds. You know, and in a bareback riding, saddle bronc riding, a bull riding, you never know what's going to happen. And even though it's 2 days, they're really totally different for the pure and simple reason that the cowboys are drawing different bulls and different horses each day. So that makes a big difference.
Okay, do you still do that thing where the guys have to sit there and try to
bull
play
poker? Yes, we
then,
do.
The bulls are coming right at it. That's insane.
Oh,
that's crazy.
I was the first guy up here in this country to ever start that, and I had a purebred Mexican fighting bull that I used for 14 years. And it became so popular that I had filming crews from Japan, New York, Canada, and they came in, flew into different events that I had to film it, to take it back. Now you can go on YouTube and say Bull Poker Albany, Oregon, and it'll pull up years of bull poker there because they put it on. So many people put it on YouTube. It's phenomenal. When you have four guys that sit down at a table and they start playing cards and you turn a bull loose in the arena with them, something's got to give, and it ain't a bull, okay? So it's pretty wild. I tell everybody, you know, if they're living proof, Homer Jethro and the Three Stooges donated to a sperm bank.
Let me ask you this, Cowboy Wayne, for folks who've never been to a rodeo, It is a spectacle, but I think everyone comes away with a healthy respect for these amazing athletes.
Oh, not just the Cowboys, though. They are phenomenal athletes. But let me tell you something. The bovine and the equine athletes are what I really enjoy, and I'll tell you why. Is because, for instance, Gary Long, the G.S. Long Company, on his ranch, raises these bucking bulls. No different than they do back in Kentucky, raising racehorses. So he can tell you the lineage of each one of these bulls, and he brings them and brings out new bulls every year. And his bulls are so good that last year he took several to the PBR finals in Las Vegas, Nevada. And here is where we take those bulls, and for the first few times here in the Northwest, we put Cowboys on them. So it's amazing for us to watch.
Well, we're talking with Cowboy Wayne with the G.S. Long Company Hell on Hooves Rough Stock Rodeo. So tell us about the kinds of events. You've mentioned we got bareback riding, we got bull riding. So
saddle broke riding and barrel racing
for us.
Saddle broke riding and barrel racing. Okay, and it goes fast. You got 15 cowboys, goes boom, boom, boom. There's no downtime, no roping events. That's what Rough Stock Rodeo is. And in the professional Rough Stock Rodeo world, we put on probably, I don't even know how many, but we put on a bunch of them. RFDTV puts on an American down in Texas. It's called, it's the richest rodeo in the United States, where a guy can go down there and one day win $1 million. Okay. Well, we've got our own boys that are already working at qualifying at our events for the American. I got a kid that won't even turn 18 years old until next month, that at the ages of 16 and 17, he was making between $40,000 and $70,000 a year riding bulls. You're not going to get him to go to work for Burger King or KFC or one of them, fast food restaurant, because he knows what he wants to do for the rest of his life.
And the thing about rodeo, of course, 8 seconds. So where did the advent of 8 seconds come from? Has it always been that?
That's a really good question. It's always been 8 seconds for the bull riding since the 1950s. Before that, if it was bronc riding, for instance, because that's really where it all started, guys getting on saddle bronc horses and out on a ranch is one guy bragging that he was a better cowboy than another one. My great uncle, for instance, died in a bronc riding accident. He rode this bronc and he had 6 horses in his string that he took to rodeos. And other guys did the same thing, and a guy challenged him. And told him, he says, "Why, I'd never take a horse in my string to a rodeo that I couldn't ride." And he goes, "I wouldn't either." And he said, "Well, you can't ride that gray horse." He said, "Yeah, I can." Bet him $100, and that was a lot of money in 1943. And he got on this gray horse, and the gray horse bucked, but he had a horn on his saddle, a saddle horn, and it hit him in the stomach high. Okay, he rode the horse, but hit him in the stomach high. And he went to the motel that night and laid down and never woke up because he bled to death internally. But that's where it all started. Guys bragging about who could ride what. Well, if you buck a horse till he quits bucking and you do that every time, pretty soon he don't want to buck no more. And that was the way they started horses. But then they go, okay, well, let's ride them for 10 seconds, and then 10 seconds. But bull riding and bareback riding was only 8 seconds, so the PRCA said, "Hey, let's just go with 8 seconds with all of them." So now even the saddle bronc riding is 8 seconds.
How about the rodeo clowns? That is, of course, an important safety factor, but those guys play a critical role, and of course, they're part of the entertainment as well.
Well, see, here's the difference. You have rodeo clowns, and then you have rodeo bullfighters. Okay. The bullfighters are the guys that take care of those cowboys in the bull riding event, make sure that, you know, they're safer than if they were home in bed. I call them gladiators in grease paint. The rodeo clown, on the other hand, is a funny man. He's an entertainer, and he's good, but he'll get in the barrel, let a bull, you know, hit the barrel, knock the barrel, and roll it around and stuff. But the bullfighters are phenomenal. And the guy I brag on probably more than anybody else is a guy by the name of Matt Akers. He's, I think he's 6'6 or something like that, kind of skinny, but the guy's phenomenal. He was a cage fighter, MMA fighter, before he became a bullfighter. And I introduce him as the only bullfighter I know that the bulls are actually afraid of him. But they're the ones that protect them. We put jerseys on them that have Les Schwab on them, and I call them the Sudden Service Boys.
That they do. Okay, let's give out the hours for Saturday and Sunday performances up at Town Toyota Center for Hell on Hooves Rough Stock Rodeo.
So doors open at 6 o'clock both nights. Rodeo starts at 7:30, and really get there early because you do not want to miss the grand entry. It really is something special. Wayne and his team from Wild West Events, they go all out. We have a little bit of fireworks, and they introduce the Cowboys, a wonderful tribute back to America, and it's just a wonderful grand entry. Town Toyota sponsoring Friday night, Ag Supplies sponsoring Saturday night. Shout out to Hooked on Toys for coming and sponsoring our clowns this year, so thanks again to them for being our new sponsor, and so many more.
All righty. I have two pairs of tickets that I can give away. Are they good for certain nights, or how does that work?
I think we give them for Friday night, for tomorrow night.
Okay, yeah. Let me double check. Yeah, they are good for the Friday night performance. Doors open at 6. Riding starts at 7:30. To win these, you've got to be among the first two people that text me at 663-5139. That's 663-5139, and I'll be keeping an eye on our text line. I'll let you know when we got those first two responses. Let's talk again about some great events coming up this summer. First off, you've got an interesting kind of a public forum focus group.
That's right.
That you'd like people to show up for next week.
Sure. So next Wednesday, May 15th, noon to 1 at the Town Toyota Center in our conference room. If you're a member of the public and want to share with us a couple thoughts on our website, we are doing a redesign this summer, so we'll be doing an RFP out to different design firms and looking for some ideas. If you have some what you want to see in the navigation flow, welcome to show up, and that's an open forum.
What time does it start?
That's noon to 1 in the conference room on Wednesday, May 15th.
All right. We already got our first two responses very quickly, so we've got our winners. We'll be getting in touch with you, boom, they just keep coming in. But we do have our winners for our Hell on Hooves tickets for tomorrow night. Looking ahead for some great events, let me get back onto your website.
Sure.
Let me scroll down a little bit. We've got some Skyhawks games
That's
coming
right.
up here before
Welcome
too long.
Welcome our new arena football team. We're thrilled to have them as another tenant. And the next game is Saturday, May 18th. And then after that, we have Saturday, May 25th for the Wenatchee Valley Skyhawks. You can get tickets at the door or call us, and we can get you tickets, or towntoyotacenter.com.
Dog Days is a family show, June 29th. If you have a pooch or you love pooches, you got to come on down there and enjoy this. I've never been to this.
Oh, this is our third annual. Thanks again to Coastal Farm and Ranch for presenting the event. We'll have about 50 vendors. If you love dogs, if you're a veterinarian, we have a kids hands-on vet clinic. We have agility training and something for everyone. If you're looking for, maybe you want to adopt a dog, you can learn about different breeds, what might work well with your family. Dogs are invited to attend and come with their owner on a leash. And so that's a wonderful, fun, free event. It's 10 to 3 on Saturday, June 29th.
Just make sure your dog is well-behaved. Weird Al Yankovic, August 13th. I can't believe it.
With the Wenatchee Valley Symphony. Thanks again to Armada for presenting that event. And tickets are selling really fast. I think we have 1,500 tickets already out the door. So if you want tickets for Weird Al, give us a call. Get online today and grab some.
August, coming up in late August, it's REO Speedwagon.
That's right. REO Speedwagon for August 27th. And just a fun event. With Great White. So I know a lot of people said, oh my gosh, I love Great White. I've seen Great White the last three times. And, so Great White will open for REO, and that's going to be a summer bash for many. I know many are coming with their teenagers and families, and so it should be a lot of fun.
Alrighty. Great spot to have a birthday party or some fun things like that.
That's right. We're open every day, as you know, 363 days a year. So staff works very hard. We have an excellent staff that in our rink as well. So thanks again. with that. Give France a call if you want to do a birthday party. Every day we have public skating from 1 to 3, Fridays and Saturday nights. We don't stop in the summertime. We're still open. We have ice, and we're looking forward to it. We are closed a couple weeks in the June this year in the rink, but for some maintenance. But other than that, we are there for you. Check out all the events and more. We'll be launching some other ones in the fall as well as 2020. So towntoyotacenter.com for all your tickets. Rodeo this weekend. And we say, if it's rodeo,
you got to be tough just to watch.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to trademark that.
It is.
Cowboy Wade, thanks for coming in. A lot of fun to get a chance to visit with you today. And I learned a little something about the old 8-second rule.
That's, I did too. That was very interesting.
Yeah, good to have you. I hope you get a great turnout. And, you know, if you've never been to the rodeo, let's make it this year that you
bring
that
your family. And
probably one of the best compliments I've ever had is Big Ben Flying Five Rodeo Company's owner came last year, and when it was all over with, he said, "This is the future of rodeo." So that's good.
Well, good for you. Hope you get a great turnout. Thank you both for coming in
today.
Thank you.
You bet. News Radio 560 KPQ News Time is 12:31 when we come back. Guess what? The Washington State Patrol, this is the whole shooting match here. 2016 District 6 Detachment of the Year is right here in Wenatchee. And then we'll find out about the Trooper of the Year, who is a guy that I happen to know. So we're going to give kudos where kudos are deserved. That's coming up next on KPQ. And we're on the agenda this afternoon, and 12:35 now. And if you, by the way, texted in for our tickets for the Hell on Hooves Rodeo, Rough Stock Rodeo, this weekend at Town Toyota Center. As soon as I get done with the program, then I will get replies out to our first two winners. So hang in there just a little bit. Just need some time to do that. But we've got a quick response, and I've got two winners. So don't keep texting because we've got our winners. All righty. We want to congratulate the District 6 Detachment of the Year, Detachment 1. And we're going to explain how this all works for the Washington State Patrol. And also tell you who the Trooper of the Year for our region. District 6 covers, I think, the largest in the state in terms of a region. Trooper John Bryant, you hear him often on our radio and giving you information about unfortunate situations with accidents, but also details about anything with the State Patrol, really, for our region. Trooper John Bryant joins us from Ellensburg today, where he has his recruiting hat on today. Is that correct, Trooper?
Yes, sir. I'm recruiting at Central Washington University today. A lot of students this time of year, they start thinking about employment. And, you know, our law enforcement agency and many other law enforcement agencies are looking and looking for those types of individuals who feel this is their calling if they meet the requirements, of course.
State Patrol has, in recent years, I don't know how recently, but it hasn't been too long, has become more attractive career in terms of they've really been able to boost pay and things like that. And so I know that's an exciting part of your recruitment tools, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. The increase in pay and the longevity. You know, once we hire you, you actually start your retirement process. 25 years from that date, you can retire, and if you start young, you can move on to a second career very easily, especially with all that experience and all the training you'll receive.
What's the minimum age to be accepted into the Washington State Patrol while we're on the topic?
Right. The two basic requirements for applying is 19 and a half years of age and also a high school diploma or a GED equivalent. And, of course, not the other part not being said is you got to have a clean record, you know, from a criminal record, and drug usage is looked at very, very closely, of course. So things you've done in the past as a young man or woman may catch up to you. So that's why I encourage young people to watch what you do, because it never really goes away.
So a lot of candidates, I would guess, maybe graduate high school, maybe even go ahead and maybe go through a two-year AA degree and then jump in or perhaps furthering their education after that and then considering the State Patrol. But, again, that's a fairly you don't have to wait too long, perhaps, after high school to consider the State Patrol as a career.
Right, and we also look for those candidates who, you know, kind of proved themselves in other you know, work. You know, if you've worked at, say, some a fast food place, have you done the best job you could at that place? You know, did you work hard, help each other out? You know, just because it's this certain job, you really have to give your best effort because, you know, the background investigators are going to ask your bosses, ask if you work with, what kind of worker are you? You know, we're trying to determine, are they the type of person who's going to come wear the uniform, get all the training, get all the equipment, and get all the authority and be responsible to the citizens of the state and do the right thing when called upon to do so.
Well, we wanted to talk a little bit about some honors that have been passed out. And first off, there is, I don't know how many districts there are in the state, but our Wenatchee area is in District 6, which is, I think, pretty much the largest in the state geographically. Is that correct?
It's pretty close. District 3 is also pretty big. I haven't looked at the size lately, but if you think about our district going from Okanagan, the Canadian border, all the way down here to Ellensburg, Kittas County, and Grant County, it's a lot of area to cover and a lot of highway and a lot of mountain passes too, of course.
And in a district, and I misspoke as I was doing the intro before we connected on the phone here. But I kind of misspoke there, but within each district, there are detachments. Probably folks with a military background probably picked up on that. But within District 6, there are many detachments. Detachment number 1 has been singled out with a group of, looks like 8 or 9 troopers that are a part of Detachment 1 as the Detachment of the Year for our area. And so I know you wanted to get the word out and recognize those troopers that are part of that effort. And so how does this type of honor come about? How do they earn the distinction?
Sure. Like you said, every area, every patrol area has at least 1 to 2 detachments. And in our District 6 area, we have approximately 7 detachments of line troopers. They're commanded by a sergeant. It's the sergeant who's the main supervisor who will put together the package recommending his crew for Detachment of the Year based on some of the issues that have gone on, what the detachment has done during the year, not just during work hours, but off-duty hours as well, because the troopers are all members of the communities they live in. And a lot of these troopers, especially these in Detachment 1, have done a lot of things in the community. They're from the Wenatchee or Chelan-Douglas County area and done a lot of great things just to be part of the community. And that's what we want to be known, that while we are law enforcement officers, we're also community members as well. And that's also factored into the scoring when they look at who are going to pick for Detachment of the Year or Trooper of the Year.
So I understand this group of troopers just did a whole lot in terms of reducing collisions, getting impaired drivers, and this criteria was kind of based on their 2018 results. So this all gets tabulated. We're talking about things over holidays and events around Oktoberfest, various holiday weekends, and the busiest travel months. I'm looking at some stats here. DUI arrests were up 37% compared to 2017. So looks like some very effective enforcement.
Yeah, and that meets the thing. We're trying to get those impaired drivers off the road and make it safe for everybody, not just for them, but for the other people that are trying to drive to get somewhere. It's such a dangerous situation, and you know, whatever we can do to mitigate that by getting them off the road is just a benefit to the entire community. And this particular group, this detachment, worked very hard with that high number. They also worked together with the county sheriffs and the local police agencies as well. And just, you know, again, we want to get these drivers off the road, as well as those who are doing other things that are dangerous, causing these collisions, these injury or fatality collisions, because that's what it boils down to. We don't want anybody to get hurt, and we definitely don't want a fatality. That's a lot of work for everybody, and it's just sad to try and do that. But they worked very hard to get that number, and it's not easy to do sometimes. You've got to do the right thing. You got to stay within the law, and to do detection and everything else. It's a long process, a lot longer than you maybe see on a TV show.
Well, our area listeners may recognize some of these names, congratulations to state troopers recognized with this award, and they include in Detachment 1 Sergeant Ryan Raymond and Timothy Dick, and then Trooper Ryan Lose. Is it Ryan Lose? Did I get that correct?
Yep.
And then familiar name for a lot of our listeners, Brian Moore, who used to handle a lot of the public information prior to Trooper John Bryant, who's assumed that duty now, but also Trooper Phil Riney, Trooper Jeremy Weber, Trooper Hayden McCall, Charles Bates, Jeffrey Anderson, and Darren Wilkes, and K-9 Rocco works with Trooper Bates as well. So that's Detachment 1, and then I know that, and I'll let you do the honors, that one of those names I just mentioned singled out as the District 6 Trooper of the Year.
Right. As in the same way the sergeants put forward their detachments, each of the sergeants look for the best of the best in their detachment, who's fulfilling the needs, doing the job, going above and beyond, and also doing that community service as well. It's everything's a one big package. And after they got together and hashed it out, one trooper stood head and shoulders above the rest, the entire district, and that would be Trooper Jeremy Weber, who's also part of this detachment, lives in the area up there in Wenatchee, and is just a very hardworking. In fact, I appreciate what he does, too, because he's my backup. He and Trooper Jeff Anish are my backup PIOs and recruiters, so when I'm able to go on vacation like I just did for my daughter's Wazoo graduation, they filled in, and when I go away, I have nothing to worry about because I know those guys are doing a great job, and I really appreciate them.
Well, and I had an occasion to talk with him a weekend or so ago about a traffic accident. He was giving the details, and I did learn, of course, all of the troopers do a great job, but I understand that they do get a little bit of an award. He gets to get a specially unmarked patrol vehicle. So it's nice to know there's a little bit of a reward for earning the distinction. So you guys are out there on the lines doing a great job all the time. So congratulations to your Detachment 1 award, and also to Trooper Jeremy Weber with the Trooper of the Year honors. So we're going to take a quick break with Trooper John Bryant, who is Public Information Officer for our District 6. He's got his recruiter hat on today, kind of probably focusing on maybe younger folks that are in their college years. But let's maybe when we come back, John, talk about maybe some other career opportunities within the Washington State Patrol that may exist for folks maybe thinking about a career change. When we come back, we'll touch on that for a brief moment, then I'll let you get back to the duty at hand today. So when we continue on the agenda with Trooper John Bryant on News Radio 560 KPQ. 12:50 now on the agenda, and wrapping it up this afternoon, the conversation with Trooper John Bryant, who serves as a public information officer as well as all the other duties of being a state trooper, and today doing a little recruiting effort down at Central Washington University in Ellensburg. And not all new trooper cadets are young and spry and in their early 20s. John, you had mentioned while we were off the air that the State Patrol is actually a second career for you, so you don't have to be 19, 20, 21 to start a career as a trooper, do you?
No, you don't. You have to just meet the requirements. You know, the top end is 65. As long as you're younger than 65, you can meet the requirements, the physical and the mental requirements, and get to the academy. They'll hire you. In fact, we like to hire those with a lot of life experience because that brings more to the table. You know, to all our detachments statewide, and I was prior military for 23 years, retired from the Air Force, loved doing that, and I guess I just wanted to wear a uniform again, and the State Patrol gave me the opportunity, and I was in my late 40s when I went to the academy, and it hurt a little bit. I made it through, and I'm enjoying it today.
Well, thank you for your service. And now continuing on with the Washington State Patrol. There are other career opportunities, certainly with the State Patrol. I know the folks that kind of work in the inspection division, dispatchers. So there are a variety of opportunities, it sounds like.
Right. We're looking for good folks in definitely other fields. Commercial vehicle enforcement officers. You see the big trucks on the highways, the state routes. They've got to get checked out and inspected some way, and those are state commercial vehicle enforcement officers do that. They also work at the scales. They stop trucks. They help with the investigation. Also, a very integral part of that whole commercial vehicle officer division is school bus inspections. We inspect the school buses statewide, or if there's any collision involvement, then we're there to check them out, so to make sure our school buses are run properly and are in good shape, so we get those, you know, precious cargo put on them, they're good to go. Communications officers are always needed. They're basically, if you're on the road, they're basically our lifeline. They're our second, third, and fourth brains. You know, you may be thinking of something, you get on the radio, you talk to communications, they've got all the information for you. They'll call out whoever you need. You need extra bodies, fire, aid, a tow truck, you know, they can do it. They're in a more calm situation where us on the road could be in a more, in a very difficult situation if we had a big wreck or a snowstorm or something like that. So they really save us. And they're also the 911 operators. So you may be calling one of our dispatchers or a county dispatcher, 911. The retired person has to remain calm, get the information, and dispatch the proper first responder to an emergency. And the third part of that is a bunch of other civilian careers. You know, they'd be IT-type folks, people that like to do lab work. There's a lot of lab work to be done. Especially since, recreational marijuana got approved. Unfortunately, there's a little more people than should be there driving under the influence of marijuana. And the only way to check that out is you have to get a blood sample. And so they have the state labs, along with the crime lab. Also, there's the lab that checks the blood and sees if there's, a presence of any drugs or in the system while someone's driving. So lots of opportunities within the state and the state patrol. And, I'm definitely the one to talk to. I actually know more about the troopers and the commercial vehicle officers, but I can get you to the right person for those other things. So I'm happy to talk to anyone about any of those job opportunities.
Well, I appreciate the time today and kind of a little insight into other Washington State Patrol career opportunities, as well as the news about our local winners with the Detachment of the Year and Trooper Jeremy Weber as Trooper of the Year. Thanks again. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Anytime.
And stay safe out there.
Thank you.